Thank you so much, Carrie. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm doing some whoops today. That's cool. Let's just pray for a second, just settle our hearts and let's get ready to hear from the Lord this morning. Lord, we just thank you that you're here, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're here and it makes all the difference. Thank you, Lord, for everybody else that's here. And I pray, Lord, that none of us would think that we're here just because of an idea or just because of an accident, but we're here because God wants us to be here. He's drawn us to himself. He's drawn us to here, and he wants us to be mindful of him, and he wants us to know him, and he wants to be in right relationship with him. That's what he yearns for. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a whole new way, Lord. I pray this morning you reveal yourself as majesty, Lord. I pray this morning you will reveal your glory this morning, and we will be overwhelmed by the grace and the goodness of our God. Lord, I pray this morning that we're excited for many gifts this Christmas. I'm sure that we are. We're maybe excited to give many gifts. But I pray this morning our excitement is based on that the greatest gift came and he transformed my life. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. I ask you, Holy Spirit, just to continue to move and do what only you can do in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about the majesty of God this morning. I want us to focus on this. Majesty. I've had this on my heart this week. I was reading some things about a majesty in the manger, about how Jesus was still king even in the manger. And this morning I want us to think about majesty. Maybe it's a thing that you don't think about too much. Maybe you see it just on money. You say, Her Majesty, you know, says something about that towards the Queen. Or you have your passport, and maybe in your passport it says, Her Majesty. Or maybe we remember the James Bond film, Her Majesty's Secret Service. You know, he was a secret agent for Her Majesty. That's where we think of it. And so when we think about majesty, it's a kind of a strange word, maybe an old word. We think of kings. We think of royalty. We think of grandeur. We think of bigness. And this morning, I want us to realign our focus if we need to, or just remind us of the grandeur and how majestic and how our King Jesus is majesty this morning. And so even when he came, and this is what blows my mind, and this is what consumed my heart this week, is that even when Jesus came to be born in a manger, he was still majesty in a manger. He was still royalty. I mean, even in that, I think to myself, wow, he came to a manger. He came to a cow shed. He came to, I don't know what you have at home or if you see some farmers beside you, but he came to something not even as good as that, because our cattle sheds, our cow sheds are perfect. They're great. They're made really well. They look really great. But he came to a cow shed, and it was not perfect. It was not good, and it definitely wasn't good enough for a king. And in the midst of all of that, you think to yourself, wow, who is this king? Read about that in the Old Testament. Who is this King of glory? That he would come, and he would come to a stable, and he would be born of a virgin. I mean, who is this king? And in the midst of all of that, I think to myself, why did he do it like that? I'm in awe, I'm in wonder, but I can never get away from the fact that he's still majesty. And even the way that he did it, who else could do it like that? Who else could come like that? Who else could come? Who else would even think to come like that? Through a virgin, just born of a virgin, who would pick a girl called Mary? Who else would think to come in the stable? Who else would be confident enough or even have the ability to do it or even have no insecurities to ever go that way? Who would ever make themselves so vulnerable to come that way? And yet, in the midst of all of this, he was still majestic. He was still perfectly in control. He was still holding the whole world in the palm of his hand. It just blows your mind. He's majesty. He's King Jesus, even in a manger, even as a baby. And even in all the vulnerability of a baby, and there's no more vulnerable state to be a baby and then to be born from a womb. Imagine what a delivery method. Didn't come in a car, didn't come in an airplane, didn't come in a boat. He came through a womb. He came through just, that was his delivery into this world. I mean, it blows your mind. Our King Jesus, majesty, king above all kings, and he came to a stable. And so this morning, I want us to refocus our hearts on this, is that Jesus, from day number one, day number zero, whatever it is, he was still majesty. And this morning, he's majesty, and this morning, he wants to elevate our gaze so we'll start to see him afresh and again and anew, that he is King Jesus, and he is King Jesus, and he is King here in our lives. And you know the beautiful thing about King Jesus, the beautiful thing about our King, is that he reigns and he rules. He's not an ineffective king. He's not one that's subject to other people. He's not subject to our government like our queen is. Our king rules and he reigns. And he reigns supreme. There is no one above him. There is no one is equal. He is King Jesus, and this is who we're talking about this morning. Born in a stable, a baby, majestic in all of his ways. And this morning, I want us to lift our gaze and think, wow, isn't our Jesus amazing? Let us read some verses this morning from Isaiah 53. Is there anyone like Jesus? I want us to read these verses this morning. I want us to challenge our hearts. These are big verses. We'll read them again and again through the New Testament. They come up again and again. They prophesy of the Savior who would come. And this is Isaiah in Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up. Think of Jesus as we read this. He grew up before him like a tender shoot. And like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Imagine, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. On the outside, he looked so insignificant. On the outside, he looked so vulnerable. On the outside, he looked like everybody else. But he was still majestic. He was still wonderful. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one whom people hide their faces. He was despised and he was held with low esteem. I think this morning, just on those verses, just for a moment, I mean, we looked at the 10 lepers, we looked at the one leper, we think about those were people that people walked away from. Nobody wanted to look at them. They had to say, we're unclean, so people could stay away from them. And when Jesus was here, it was like he was a person that people hid their face from. This was our King Jesus in the midst of all of this, still majestic, still wonderful, and yet he came in a manger and most of us missed him, apart from a few wise men and a few shepherds. Most of us missed him. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced for our faults, for our feelings. He was crushed for our iniquities or our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are still healed today. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sins of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Is there anybody like our King Jesus? And so as we move this morning, what I really want us to move from is not a place of reading those verses and thinking, woe is me, and I'm so guilty. I want us to defer from that, and I want us to focus on the majesty of Jesus, that he would come, and he would do all of this for us, knowing all of the things that were written, because he inspired all the things that were written. And yet he still come because he loved us, and he desired us, and because we needed him. And so this morning, let's lift our gaze. And it's less about woe is me, and it's all about, wow, how good is our God? How good is Jesus Christ this morning? How majestic, how wonderful, is there anybody like him? And I want to encourage you to do something this morning, because I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to allow the Lord to speak to you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning to allow the Lord to speak to your heart. I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what you're going through, I want there a majesty to come in your heart. I want a reverence to come in our hearts, an overwhelming sense of how good God is. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and give you that awe and wonder. And maybe for just a moment this morning, we'll have a heart upbeat of the angels of heaven that says all that we can do for thousands and thousands of years is just cry, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. And this morning, I want him to touch our hearts. I want us to take a moment away from the things that we're worried about, a moment away from the chaos of Christmas, a moment away from all of the things that we're concerned about, and give them all to him and allow him to reveal his majesty in a fresh, powerful way that our hearts will never be the same again. And we'll yearn for more, and we'll yearn for more, because he is truly, truly wonderful, and there is nobody like our Jesus. And so this morning, maybe you're going to say amen on the outside. Could you believe that? Or maybe you're going to say amen on the inside. Or maybe you're going to stand and praise. But I encourage you, something's going to take place as the Lord will reveal his grandeur in your heart. Because he is so huge. And yet he came to die for us. He came to live for us. He came to give us peace and to give us hope. And so this morning, I want to focus our gaze on a few more things. God, listen to this. God was prepared to go to extraordinary lengths in order to reach us. We can read from those verses this morning that God himself was willing to go to extraordinary lengths to reach us. There was no distance too far. There was no price too heavy. He was willing to go to extraordinary lengths to reach us because of his great love. And I had a thought this morning. I wonder how many times we've went to extraordinary lengths. It's probably not that often. We probably do it a few times, but we usually do it for love. It's what causes us to do extraordinary things. And so I was thinking kind of a funny story just to bring us into what we're talking about today, or kind of lighthearted story. Let's think of our friend Worms, and he hasn't been here in 2 years. And so we've missed him. We've not seen him for a couple of years. Normally we see him every few months because he usually takes us on missions, and then he comes at Christmas time to be with us. But this year he's moving mountains to come to see us. He says he's coming in on Christmas Eve. And I said to some of the guys this week, we're doing a Christmas miracle for Worms because he's going to extraordinary lengths to be with us. And the reason why I think about Worms is because of the way that he lives. We raise some money to bring him over. Just the way that he carries himself, the way that he lives, it looks just like Jesus. We went to South Africa a couple of times, and we went to his apartment. And we noticed in his apartment he had lots of things, or maybe he had nice things, but he didn't have lots of things. He had a few good things, but he didn't have a lot of things. And we noticed, we went to his living room, and we're like, is this the living room? And he was like, yeah, this is the living room. And I was like, normally when you come to a living room, there's a sofa, or there's a seat, or something like that. Well, in his living room, there was no sofa. And I was like, you can't have a living room without a sofa. We've got to get you a sofa. And so we said, you know, we're secretly conspiring behind backs in a positive way. We're like, we're going to get him a sofa. It won't cost that much, and we're going to do all these things. And then I thought, well, we better tell him we're going to get him a sofa just in case he wants to pick the color or something. And we tell him, we're going to get you a sofa. And you know what he says? He says, because he's thinking about extraordinary lengths for the people that he loves. He says, I don't want a sofa. Not that I wouldn't be grateful, but I don't want a sofa because then there'll be less room for the people that needs to come and stay in my house. I want plenty of room so that people can roll their sleeping bags out because I want to be a place where people can come to. I want to have a flat that people can come and stay. And I think about extraordinary lengths and I think about Worms, and yet Jesus is so much greater than that. Jesus is extraordinary. He went to extraordinary lengths for me and you. And Worms didn't want a sofa because he wanted to have plenty of room for people to come and stay. And I think to myself, wow, only love can drive that. Only a heart of God can drive that. And God did this for us. He went to extraordinary lengths for his people. And today he's still going to extraordinary lengths for you and for me. What a wonderful Savior. You are not going to find anybody else like that. There is no one like our Jesus. And this morning, let's continue to remind our hearts, there is no one like him. Think about this. Jesus left everything to come to earth. Jesus left everything. Now, I don't know if you've moved away to university or you've moved home, but when you move, you usually try to take everything with you, especially if you know you're going to be there for a while. But when Jesus left heaven, it wasn't like us moving home and then moving to another home and taking a few things with us. It wasn't like that. When Jesus left heaven, the light left heaven. It just did. Because it says, if you read Revelations 21 and 22, you'll see about the gold streets. You'll see about the pearls in the gates. You'll see about the diamonds encrusted everywhere. You'll read about the splendor of heaven. But the crown jewel of heaven is the Lamb who was slain. The crown jewel of heaven is Jesus, the Son. It says that there's no need for the Son there, S-U-N, because we've got the Son, S-O-N. There's no need for it because Jesus is there. Darkness does not exist in heaven because the Son may need to go down, but Jesus doesn't need to go down. He's alive all day long. The Son provides the light all day long. But when Jesus left heaven, think about it for just a moment. Heaven was bankrupt. Because the most precious thing that heaven had was Jesus. And the light left, the Lamb left, and he came to earth to die for us. So when we say this morning that heaven was bankrupt, it truly was. There was precious things left, but the most precious thing that God had, he sent to earth for us. Is there anybody like God? Is there anybody like Jesus this morning? Maybe we've started to doubt and wonder, is God even good anymore? Have we started to doubt and think to ourselves, is Jesus even there for me anymore? Does Jesus even know what I'm going through? He knows absolutely everything that we face, and he's full of love, and he's full of compassion. And so heaven, when Jesus came, was bankrupt. He left it all for us. Isn't Jesus amazing? I watched the funny thing this week. It was about Santa versus Jesus. I don't know if you've seen it. And it talked about Santa. Now, I'm not going to knock Santa because Santa's a cool guy and he's brought me lots of good presents before. And I'm hoping he's going to do it this year as well. So I'm not knocking Santa. But they made an interesting point. I just want to put it out there, see what you think. They said, think about Santa. You never hear from him all year long. You want to meet him, and he tells you you can't meet him. He tells you, put out some stuff for me, cookies and milk, but don't come out because you can't see me. I'm in a rush. I'm far too busy. Don't stop me. You write me a letter, and if you're good enough, I'll give you the things in your letter. But if you're not good, then you're not getting the stuff on the ladder. And Santa seems pretty good, but when you start to break it down, he's maybe not as good as we hoped. And then we think about Jesus, and he says, you can talk to me anytime you like. It's not about how good you are. It's all about how good I am. In fact, you'll never be good. I'll make it real for you. You'll never be good enough. You can never be perfect. You can never be good. But Jesus was good, and he was a perfect lamb, and he was led to the cross for us. And so Santa is amazing. I said, I'm not knocking Santa. He's a great guy. But he does not compare to Jesus. He does not compare. And when you think about it, there is nobody like Jesus. Isn't he amazing this morning, church? There's nobody. And I thought this, why did he have to come so low? And I thought to myself, it's a completely wrong question. Why did he have to come so low? Because we were even lower. Why did Jesus have to come so low? Because we were even lower. We had no hope. This is what it says in verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquities just means sin. He was crushed for us. He was pierced for us. Not because he needed it, but because we needed it. We desperately needed a Savior. No matter how good we lived, no matter how hard we tried, we were never good enough. No matter what we did, we could never stay clean. And even when we got ourselves clean, we were messed up again within a few minutes because we were born in sin and we were affected by sin and we couldn't do anything. Why did he come so low? Because we were so much lower. We were helpless, but hope came. And when we think about that, then I go into this next thought of this. Is Jesus came because we needed him. Jesus came because we needed him. That blows my mind this morning. Jesus, yes, he defeated sin. Yes, he defeated death. Yes, he did many, many signs and wonders and miracles. Yes, he did all of those things. But you know why he came? Because we needed him. I mean, I love to watch movies. I love to watch films. I love to read the books about superheroes and watching them saving the day. But when you think about them and you break it down, usually they have a choice. I don't know if you've seen any of the latest movies, but there's one in particular, Batman, I was thinking about this week. I was thinking about the stupid Batman movie, and I was thinking about how Batman comes to this scenario in one of the movies, and he's got to save the guy or the girl. And he's deciding which one to go for, and he's trying to figure out which one does he go for. And he thinks, I love the girl, but you know the guy will save the city. It's something to do with he's going to be mayor of the city. He's going to save the city, so maybe he's worth it more. And he goes to save the guy, but it turns out the guy loves the girl too. And he says, I can't believe you saved me instead of saving her. And instead of saving the city, he's not interested in the city. He goes bad. And I thought about Jesus, and I thought to myself, wow, Jesus didn't die for one. He died for all. He didn't have to make a choice. He didn't have to because, oh, I'm going to run out of time and energy and ability. I'll have to go for this group over here, but unfortunately, all you guys over there, it's game over. It's not going to be good enough for you. I'm not good enough for you. No, Jesus came, and he died for all once for all, for God so loved the world. And do you want to know how good our Jesus is? He didn't just die for the people that were alive at that moment, past, present, and future. He died for the whole world. He died for everybody. Sins forgiven for everybody, for anybody who's willing to receive, for anybody who's willing to come to Jesus. Isn't he absolutely amazing this morning? Let me read this in Romans 5, 6. He is a magnificent Savior. It says this, you see at just the right time. At just the right time, God knows just the right time. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely, listen to this, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person.
A person that's good living, you know, doing good things, righteous. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Unbelievable. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by from God's wrath through him? For it, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also will boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You see, Jesus wasn't just limited to one part. He wasn't just limited to saving us, and then we're left to our own devices. He saved us to reconcile us. He saved us because we needed him, and we needed him because we couldn't get to God because of our sin. Our sin separated us from God, and so no matter how hard we tried, we couldn't get to God. We couldn't get to that relationship that we desired, and we couldn't get to the relationship that God desired so much. And so not only did Jesus come and save us from sin, he saved us from ourselves, and he reconciled us back to God. And for anyone who is willing, for anyone who would like to, for anyone who wants to, can receive Jesus. Not only his salvation, but his forgiveness, his mercy, his transformation, his reconciliation, his restoration. As transformation, we could just keep going and going and going. Forgiveness of sins, brand new start, no longer the same, a new creation in Jesus Christ. Wow. You can go and try to find Superman wherever he is, and you can go and try and put on an Iron Man costume or whatever, but you'll never get close to Jesus because they're all limited. They're all finite. They'll all run out, but only Jesus is limitless, only him. And so this morning, are we discouraged? If we are discouraged, start thinking about Jesus. You know, if you're discouraged, let me tell you this. Start saying Jesus. Watch how much power is in the name of Jesus. Watch how much power is in just saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just singing Jesus. Just speaking it out. Just declaring that over your mind. Declaring that over your soul. Did you know a lot of the times you're not as bad as you think, but it's your thinking that makes you feel worse than you are? It's just our minds sometimes can make us think terrible things, can make us focus on the wrong things. But when we start to say Jesus, our mind starts to catch up because our mind starts to say, wow, Jesus is good. Jesus is amazing. It starts to remember things, starts to trigger things. And supernaturally, there's things taking place in our spirit because Jesus is amazing. There is no other name like Jesus. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Isn't our Jesus amazing? I hope we're starting to get a picture of a glorious Savior. I don't want us feeling, as we said at the beginning, per us, but I want us to think, wow, what an incredible Savior. And not only was heaven bankrupt for Jesus to come, but also Jesus was destroyed so that we could have incredible life. And this morning, because of what Jesus did, we have newness of life, and it is absolutely incredible. And then last thing this morning, we'll just spend a couple of minutes on it, is this, is that even in the midst of that, we go back to where we started, there was still so much glory in the stable. He was glorious from day one to day end. He was glorious. Whether you think he was most glorious on the cross, he was still glorious in the stable. No matter what you think, he was still the same. He was yesterday, today, and forever. He was glorious everywhere he was. He was absolutely glorious. Born in the stable, he was glorious. He had nurses. He had animals for nurses. Can you believe that? He had animals for nurses. He had no doctors, only his mom and dad, and only a few recognized him, and yet he saved us all. How do you ever imagine or perceive how good God is? It's hard to fathom. It's hard to understand. But know this, God demonstrated his great love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so you're here this morning, and I don't know how you're feeling. I'm not sure what is going on in your heart or your mind. I'm not sure what distractions you face. I'm not sure what you're having to face in the next few days. But I want to encourage you, always keep Jesus in awe and wonder. Always keep Jesus as majestic. Always keep Jesus as he is my majesty. And when he is your majesty, and when he is king, what's the most natural thing you do with the king? You worship. You worship. You bow down. You confess he is Lord. You do things that you wouldn't normally do because he's come, because he's here. And I want to encourage you, there's in moments and there's in days where we're not feeling our best. And we go back to what we default to in terms of what do I do here? What do I do there? But I want you to keep an image and to keep in mind's eye Jesus. Because even at the worst of moments, bow down and worship and watch what the Lord will do as we worship. In the best of times, bow down and worship and thank Him for everything that we have. Because what have we got outside of Christ? There is nothing good outside of Him. There is nothing good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. We read it last night, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift. It's just incredible. It's amazing. And this morning, I want us to pause and think as we're finishing that He is majestic, that He is wonderful. We used to sing an old song, Majesty, Worship His Majesty. We've probably moved on from that, I don't know. But the words of it and the heart of it are still the same. He is so full. He is so full of goodness. He is so worthy of our praises. He is so incredible. He is our majesty this morning. We have so many blessings that we see. And maybe even in these moments, we think about the blessings that we have. Think about the blessings that we have in our lives and then think about all the things that we can't see. There's blessings untold that come from our Father each and every day, every moment of every day. Was there ever a king born like Jesus? Absolutely not. Was there ever a man who lived like our Jesus? Absolutely not. Was there ever anybody like Him? Was there ever one who lived on earth so majestic and so worthy of it all? We're going to worship this morning because that's our only response for this. But I want us to stand and sing. And I want us to stand, as we stand now, I want us to pray. And I want to unlock something fresh in our hearts to see the Lord, see Him high and lifted up, and to see the majesty, to see the robe fill the temple, and to see just the aroma and the presence of God just touch our hearts and touch our lives. And the beauty of this is He will come just as you are. I mean, if the King decides to come, it won't matter if you're sick or not. He's coming. It'll change something. It won't matter how you feel. He's going to change something. It won't matter how you're being at that moment. It'll just change something in your spirit. And as we stand this morning, as we would sing and we would worship, I want you, it's just as if the King has just entered the room. And I want something to overwhelm and envelop our hearts that says, I don't even care what's going on in my life. I don't even care what's going on in my mind at this moment. I give it all away to God. I just want to worship His majesty. I want to just sing King Jesus. I want to sing and I want to worship because our King is truly amazing. Can we stand this morning and let's pray? Lord, You are our glorious Savior. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. Lord, we are in awe of the things that You have done. Lord, I want us to put off all the things that we're feeling and all the things that we're thinking, Lord. Lord, I want us to put them all to the side. I want them to want us to give them to You. But Lord, I want You to come and unlock something in our hearts, Lord. Because there's things in our spirit and there's things in our hearts and there's things in our lives, Lord, that we don't even know we're there because they've been placed in us before time ever began. It's the hallmarks of a Savior. It's the compartments of Jesus. It's just the DNA of the Savior inside of our hearts. And Lord, this morning as we would worship, could we posture ourselves in a place of worship, in an action of worship? And maybe it'll be to bow, maybe it'll be to raise our hands, maybe it'll be just to sing and stand quietly. I don't know what it'll be, but something's going to move in our hearts this morning as we position ourselves in front of the King, because when the King is here, everything changes. Doesn't matter about anything else. When the King is here, everybody moves. Everything changes. Everybody changes because the King is here. And Lord, we think about that of an earthly king. How much more of a heavenly King? The heavens were bankrupt to send the light to earth. It's why we sing Light of the World. It's why we sing Light of the World, because He was the light of the world. And in the wisdom of God, He chose to pass it on to us. And He says, I've got to go, but I need you to go too. I've got to go up, and you've got to continue to move out. And you've got to continue to show the people the light of the world. And how can we show the light if we're not in awe of the One who saved us? And so, Lord Jesus, King Majesty, come and reign in us today and blast away everything that would hold us back from You. In Your precious name, amen.